We've got a video we'd like for you to watch just to help us remember what he's done, to not forget any part of the suffering and the sacrifice and the physical and spiritual pain that he endured for each one of us. Please watch.
At the mansion of your name, Jesus, your name is power, breath, living water, such a marvelous mystery, yeah. Holy, 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 Son of God Almighty, who was and is to come, yeah. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, 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 Son of God Almighty, who was and is to come.
Today we want to observe communion. At Genesis Metro, it is our tradition the Sunday after Thanksgiving that we observe the Passover / communion meal. For those of you that aren't well versed in Old Testament theology and New Testament covenant, in the Old Testament there was a really important feast that was instituted when the Jewish people were able to escape slavery whenever they were in Egypt. And God said that they would institute a ceremony called the Passover. And it was at the Passover that each family would take the blood of a lamb, and they would take its blood and they would put it on the doorpost of their house. And when the death angel would come, the angel would pass over their house, hence the name Passover. So whenever Jesus is sitting down several thousand years later with his disciples, and he's observing communion, this is the feast that he's observing. He's observing the Passover. So the really important thing is that this was the final Passover before Jesus fulfilled the picture or the ceremony that was painted in the Old Testament. So the lamb that was painted in the Old Testament was a picture of what Jesus would become. He became the Passover lamb. His blood was put on the doorpost of the cross. And Jesus said rightly, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. So whenever Jesus was hanging suspended between heaven and earth on the cross, he literally became the blood of the Lamb. And so whenever we apply the blood to our lives is the means by which we can procure salvation. So the reason why this sermon is really important for you and the reason why this ceremony is important is what you do with the sacrifice of Jesus determines your eternity. So today, as you're invited to the table of Christ to memorialize the death of Jesus Christ, I would hope that you would consider his incredible sacrifice for your sins and for mine. And as we go through this process today, that we would come to his table in a manner that is worthy of the sacrifice that was given. In your worship guide, I would ask you guys to pay close attention to this. This is going to be very important for you. This is not going to just be a spectator Sunday. Today is going to be your chance to participate. We found at Genesis Metro that our audience, whenever they participate physically in a service, it helps them to connect spiritually. And so today, we've created a prayer guide for you that you're going to go through, each individual in here. If you did not get a worship guide, don't fear. There's going to be extra ones handed out in just a little while. Whenever you have the opportunity to go light a candle at one of our stations that are located on the sides and in the front. And so you'll go through this prayer guide. It's really important that you understand why we're going to do this. The Bible says that in the church at Corinth, some people took the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. Now understand this, we are all unworthy as sinners, but we can approach his table in a worthy manner, one with reverence and respect. And so today, I'm going to make sure that we all do that. As the shepherd of Genesis Metro, I would not want to lead you in unsafe waters. When the people at Corinth took the Lord's Supper unworthy, it says some of them became sick and some of them even died as a result of misrepresenting what the Lord's Supper was all about. So I want us to come to the Lord's table today all with clean hearts and in a respectful way that gives reverence to the sacrifice that was given 2,000 years ago. And so today we're going to take you through that process. I want to set it up in a brief sermon today, and then you're going to be dismissed in just a little while. And I would like you to go with your families, if your families are here, and have this time of prayer and communion together, okay? So we'll get to that in just a little while. I just wanted to set the table for what we're going to be doing today. So you're going to get to participate. Now you might say, Tim, I'm shy, I'm new here, I don't want to have to get up, and I don't want to have to go and light a candle somewhere. Well, guess what? You can do this right there where you're sitting. If you want to just sit there and pray and then go to the back and get your elements, after we receive our elements, we're going to return to our seats and we're all going to observe the elements at the end of today's ceremony. So let's get into this morning's message. The first thing I want us to talk about this morning is that in order for communion to take place, the master needed some things back in the New Testament. A really cool story unfolds. The disciples are asking Jesus, where do you want us to prepare the Lord's Supper? In Luke chapter 22, Jesus answered them. He replied, he said, as you enter the city, there will be a man carrying a jar of water to meet you. Follow him to his house that he enters. And then when he gets to his house, say to him, the master or the teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large upper room, all furnished. Make preparations there. Now I love that we have a God that can do stuff like this. I mean, you know, he knows stuff that we don't know. And so as they're getting ready to set up the Passover, his disciples knew that they were going to observe this because this was something they did every year. They've done it for 3 years now with Jesus, so this will be the third Passover they observe with Jesus. And so they said, where do you want us to go? And Jesus said, hey, walk into town. There'll be a guy carrying a water pot. Follow him to his house. When he gets to his house, say, hey, the master needs your house, and we're going to come and crash your house and eat the Passover at your house, and it'll all work out great. Can you imagine being one of the disciples having to carry out this plan, right? I mean, you walk into Jerusalem and you're looking for a guy with a water pot. Now, understand this. There would have been a whole bunch of people walking around with a water pot. There wasn't just one guy standing out. So they had to use discernment. And so then they see the guy and there's two disciples and you know they had that conversation, right? Like, you think that's the one? And then they got to go ask the guy. You know, they walked up and said, hey. They followed this guy all the way to his house, right? They're like, and this guy's like, you know, looking back, you know, every 10 yards or so. And then they get to his house and they're standing at his door. They go, hey, the master said, and this guy doesn't know who the master is, mind you, right? The master said, he needs your house. And the guy was like, yeah, sure. Upper room's all prepared. Everything's ready. I mean, how awesome is it when you walk in obedience with God that it's already there. It's already prepared. You just have to have the faith to walk in it. The first thing I want you to see is that the master needs you to have a willing heart for your stuff to be available. In order for this communion to take place 2,000 years ago, this guy, who was a stranger, had to have a heart that was willing to be open to what the master needed. Now think about this. Wrap your mind around this. This is the kind of cool stuff I like. Here we sit 2,000 years later, and we commemorate the Lord's Supper, and in so doing, we remember this guy who gave up his house so that the Lord could observe the last communion meal, the last Passover before he left this earth and went to the cross. Now think about that, how your life intersects the will of God. If he would have been stingy, if he would have been selfish, if he would have, you know, held on to his stuff and said, who are these strangers? Just get out of here. The master. Who's the master? I mean, all of us, we tend to be, you know, somewhat protective of our things. I would just ask during this Thanksgiving season that you would consider the heart of this man who realized that the master needed something of his in order to fulfill his will. He was willing to give up something so that God could get his message across. Do you know how badly God wants to use you and the stuff that he's blessed you with in order to convey his message? How there's a cause and effect relationship between how you are open to what God has to say. And it might feel weird, it might be awkward at times, but I'm telling you, when you walk in faith, it's already prepared on the other side. I was thinking about this yesterday. There's a young couple in our church that came, and I did their first premarital counseling yesterday. Oh, it's so nice to be around young love. I tell you what, all of you people have been married a while. You don't look quite the same as you did before you got married. And so you know, you just look at each other. They got big stars in their eyes, and a lovely young couple, just out of college, you know, 22-ish years old, and I'm counseling with them. And, you know, it was great. And I just feel like they're going to do well. They don't seem like they have a lot of baggage that they're bringing into the relationship. And so as we were counseling there, I left that meeting and I was thinking about this sermon. And I thought, you know, whenever we planted Genesis Metro 11 years ago, and some of you have been here for 8, maybe some of you have been here 10, some of you are 5, some of you have been here 2, however long you've been here. You know what's really cool I thought about? When we started this process 11 years ago, the people that I'm going to be marrying in January, they were 11 years old. That like was like a blew my mind. I'm like, I'm getting old. Yes, I am. But I thought about it. If we wouldn't have been faithful 11 years ago, I wouldn't have the opportunity to pour into the next generation now. There's a cause and effect relationship. What you sacrifice for today will determine your impact a decade from now. How important is it for you to start sowing and reaping? And when the master has needs, that you are open with your house and open with your hearts and what he's blessed you with. So as we come to the table of the Lord today, I hope that you would realize that the master needs you to have a willing heart. Second of all, the master has a desire. Look in Luke chapter 22, verse 15, continuation of the passage we were just reading. It says, and he said to them, I have earnestly and intensely desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. I mean, do you hear the passion in our Savior's voice? Only he is aware of what is getting ready to occur. We know by the reaction of his disciples in a few chapters later that even though he had prepared them, even though he told them what was coming, it was so far out of their realm of imagination that they could not prepare themselves to receive what God was trying to clearly. He said, I'm going to die. And they still didn't get it. Here Jesus is saying, I desire to spend this time with you before I suffer. He wanted to spend time with his friends. These were his closest friends on this earth, and he had a desire to spend this last special moment with them before he departed. And the writer of the Synoptic Gospel, which is a parallel gospel to Luke 22, John, his beloved disciple, he recorded these same words referring to the same moment. It says in John 13:1, before the Passover feast began, Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and to return to the Father. And as he had loved those who were with his, or who were his own in the world, he loved them to the last, and he loved them to the highest degree. Now you have to really like pull back a little bit to get this, to get what's going down here. This is not written before the crucifixion. This is written after the resurrection. This is a recording of John's gospel. And so he's writing in remembrance, as the Holy Spirit inspires him to record God's divine word so that we might have it later on. As he's writing these words, imagine what he must have felt. Imagine what he must have been thinking as he recalled having that last Passover meal. I mean, imagine the year after the last Passover before Christ died. Imagine it 1 year later, the same disciples are sitting around a room and they're having communion together, and now it means something completely different. Before, it was a ceremony that had been observed as a part of their heritage, but now it was representative of the Lord dying. They would be sitting around saying, you remember what? We didn't even know. He was trying to tell us, but we didn't even know. It was so much more than we could have ever imagined. John began writing his gospel, and when he got to John chapter 13, we remember that John has recorded that at the cross, Jesus looked down and he said, John, I'm dying. Take care of my mom. He was God, but he was a man. I mean, while he's suffering, while he's in agony, while his life is fading away, he's thinking about his mom. Who's going to take care of her? And then John is writing all of this down in remembrance, and he says, he loved them to the last, and he loved them to the highest. The master has a desire for you to come to his table. And he wants you to understand and to experience the same type of love that those disciples experienced 2,000 years ago. He welcomes you to his table, and he says, I have intensely, fervently, earnestly desired to spend this time with you. I'm getting ready to die. I'm getting ready to suffer. I'm getting ready to go through hell on earth for you. And before I do, though, I would like to sit down at this table and remember this last meal together as we observe the unleavened bread and the wine that was poured out that day. Now, try to get this picture in your mind that the Lord is inviting you to his table, and he wants you to know that every step from the judgment hall of the Jews and Pilate up to the place called Calvary, and as they nailed his hands to the cross, and as they dropped it in the hole, and as he hung there suspended between two common criminals, one railed at him and one repented, and the crowd jeered at him, and the soldiers gambled for his garments, and they said, he saved others, let him save himself, mocking him as a God who claimed to be God but was really unable to even save himself. And little did they realize that they were not nailing him to that cross. They were not taking his life from him, but he was willingly laying it down. As he went through that whole process, John records, he loved us to the last, and he loved us to the highest. I don't know what you brought in here today. I don't know where your heart is this morning. But during this time of Thanksgiving, is there any greater thanks that you could possibly have? At our Thanksgiving, we go around the table and we share what we're thankful for. Today, the Lord invites you to his table, and I hope that as we go through the prayer process, I hope that you might express your attitude, your thankfulness toward him for what he went through to obtain your salvation. Lastly, the Master offers some things to us in the Passover. In the Old Testament, they had been in slavery for 400 years, and it was at the Passover that they were offered a fresh start. I wonder this morning, as we're entering to the last month of the year and 2014 is knocking on the door, are there anybody in here that would kind of say to me, you know what, 2013's about done, I'm ready for 2014. Anybody, you know? Maybe it's just me, but I'm ready for a new year, all right? Not that I had a bad year, but you know what, I'm just ready for the new year. I'm ready for the new things that are to come. And I hope that you would realize that at the Passover was an opportunity to move to a new location. Whenever we accept Christ and we accept his sacrifice, we have the opportunity to move into a new realm, a realm of fulfillment. He said that he offers us life to the full, life more abundantly. And I hope that you're enjoying that life. And if you're not, if when you take this Passover in just a little bit, I hope that you would receive it as what it is. Not only did it move them to a new location, it also gave them freedom that they had never known before. Whenever you accept Christ and all that he's done for you, he sets you free from the penalty of your sin. Whenever John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." This morning, if you would like to be forgiven of your sins, there's no one that can forgive your sins but God. You must go to the cross if you're to have your sins covered by the blood of the Lamb. Many times we think of the blood that was sacrificed and we might be tempted to say, you know what, that's too gory. As a matter of fact, oddly enough, whenever we've shown clips of the Passion before in here, usually we'll have someone that is offended at us showing what happened at the cross. I hope today that you would understand, as much as I would like to take away the gore, as much as I would like to make it glamorous, there was nothing pretty about what Christ suffered for your sins. When we observe the unleavened bread, it doesn't taste good for a reason. When we drink the wine, the reason why we drink the wine is because it's bitter. As Christ went from the whipping post to the cross, it was a bitter moment. As he held the cup in his hand, when he was out in the garden praying, he said, "Father, if there's any way this cup figuratively could pass from me, let it be. But God, nevertheless, your will be done, not mine." What an example. I hope today, as you observe it, that you might remember the bitter taste that Jesus must have felt when he cried out from the cross, "Father, why hast thou forsaken me?" When he looked upon his own people as they yelled out, "Crucify him, crucify him." And he looked upon this crowd in words that are unimaginable to us, and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." How bitter it must have been that the people he was trying to save were rejecting him to his face. Oh, today, that we might come to this table with reverence, with respect, remembering what Christ has done for us. At this time, I would ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Whenever I finish praying for you, you're going to be dismissed to the prayer stations. There's one here at the front. There are two on the sides. I would ask that you grab your loved one and you go through this process with them, that you would take time. I've given you sample prayers. The first prayer as we approach the table is one of thanksgiving. The second prayer is the prayer of repentance. Ask God to search your heart, and if there's any sin or wickedness in you, that you might repent of that and ask God for his grace to help you to overcome the sins that are easily entangling you. And then the last one, before we observe the elements together at the end, that you might come to his table with respect for his sacrifice. And there's no way that you can come to his table with respect without desiring to follow his command. He said, any man that desires to follow after me will deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. If you want to respect the sacrifice that was given for your salvation, then you must take this challenge seriously. And before you observe the elements today, I would ask you to consider, are you willing? Are you willing to take up your cross? Have you been carrying it with you lately? The cross that represents self-denial. The cross that represents love for God first, love for others second, and love for yourself way at the bottom. Today, as we approach through this prayer process, I predict that we'll be ready to give Christ the honor and the worship that only he is deserving of. So join with me as I pray for you. Father, I thank you for all these people that have come to your house today. God, I know that it's a little strange to ask them to get up in the middle of a service and go and light a candle and have an opportunity to have a prayer with their family in front of all these people. And for some of them, they might want to sit there, and that's fine. That's great. For those of you that want to participate, I encourage you to do so. I encourage you to prepare your heart to receive God's communion. I also encourage you, if you are unwilling to prepare your heart, that you can sit quietly in your seat, because I would rather you not come to the Lord's table with disrespect and disdain, not willing to repent of your sins, because it would be better for you to not observe if that is your heart in this matter. God, I pray for every family in here for your richest blessings. God, we thank you so much for your sacrifice at the cross. And God, we pray that as we memorialize your sacrifice, that God, we do it in a way that brings you honor. That when your son was hanging there on the cross and you looked down from heaven, how your heart must have broken to see your son experiencing this bitter death. But Lord, you allowed him to go through that so that we might live. God, we thank you this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. At this time, you are dismissed with your families to head to the prayer stations. After you've gone through the prayer process, you can go to one of the back stations to grab your elements of wine and the unleavened bread. You may move about the room at this time. Just a moment, we're going to observe the unleavened bread. Just so you understand, the The unleavened bread represents the body of Christ that was broken for our salvation. This morning, the lengths that God has gone to prove his love for you. Oh, this morning you should be thankful. You should be humbled. You should approach his table today thinking of his body and saying, God, I'm unworthy. Unworthy of your love, unworthy of your salvation. Today, Lord, as I come before your table, as I observe your body that was broken, Lord, help me. Help me to live a life that reflects how much I appreciate your sacrifice. Whenever he was with his disciples, it says that he gave thanks and he broke the bread. He said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. At this time, would you observe the unleavened bread? I would ask this time that you would take your cup and that you would stare at it. As you're staring at it, I want to take you through what I do. Every time I observe communion, I find myself holding this tiny vial that represents something that is beyond my comprehension. That God, the Father, took the blood of the Lamb and put it on the doorpost of the cross and says, as a result of what my Son has done, you can enter into eternal life. That our sins have the ability to be covered by the blood of the Lamb. It's not that they're not there. It's that they're covered. That our sins, though they were like scarlet, are able to be washed as white as snow. This morning, what value is it to you that your sins are forgiven? What value is it to you that God has procured eternal life and it cost him everything to do so? Today, as we prepare to observe the blood of the Lamb that is bitter to the taste, I hope that you'll do so remembering what it cost. Today, when you go out of here, I hope you'll go out of here with a renewed vigor and passion to live in honor of the sacrifice that has been made for you. There's no one who has loved you like that. He loved you till his last breath. He loved you to the highest. Oh, this morning, may we give him honor. May we give him worship, for he alone is worthy. Then he took the cup and he gave thanks and he offered to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Observe at this time. Would you rise? It says after they'd observed communion that they all sang a hymn together. I know that sometimes you think that worship is like something that the band does or some of the kind of weird people do around you. Understand this. If you are saved, child of God, if you realize this morning that he loved you to the last and he loved you to the highest and he took your sins upon him and he forgave you of all your sins the moment you ask in faith, that he didn't require you to do anything good, that he didn't say, if you're good, I'll save you. He said, because you're bad, but you trust me, I'll save you in your ugliest, worst state. This morning, if you understand the Savior that he is, then your voice should rise up from inside of you, worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Would you join us this morning as we sing?